And he said, well, I can't move it. I've been doing the paperwork and I can't spell Piccadilly. So he said, it's P-I-K. Let's move it to the Strand. Well, I thought it was funny. There we go. Now, I don't know what you're like when people interrupt you, folks. And sometimes, oh, will you shut up, and we lose our cool, don't we? But it is a real test of how we're doing when, you know, people have a bit of a go at you and get excited. But here's an incident where Jesus is teaching the people and somebody interjects from the crowd. He says, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. So obviously he got some money, or he thought he got some money. And his brother seemed to have the power of it. Well, you know the saying, where there's a will, there's a relative, you know. But here's the point, yeah, that he had some money and he felt it was coming to him. But it wasn't quite in the pipeline, so he was getting worried. And so at that point, one from the crowd said, teacher, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. And then he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And then he said to them, take heed, beware of covetousness, of greed, for man's life does not consist in the things that he possesses. Now, if I said to you, because we've read the story, can you tell me the summary of this passage? What is it that Jesus is trying to get across to them? Because he's going to give them a story and say, now, there's a farmer, he does really well, he gets a great crop, he's stuck, he's thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? And they say, ah, I've got a plan. And he builds these barns, I'll have many goods laid up for many years, take it easy. But God says to him, this night your soul is required of thee. Now, when you know that story, what do you think Jesus is saying? Well, as you look at it, it's this. Who do you listen to? Okay, you'll see how that comes out in this passage. So what do we learn about this great message Jesus is giving? And he's coming across with the point, take heed, beware, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Now, the first thing I want you to get is this. Things affect your soul. You see, if you look at most people in the UK, okay, basically they're trying to do well in life, and that's good. We're happy with that. But often people constantly want things. They want more and more things. And of course the push comes through the media, doesn't it? Keep getting things. You need this, you know, you need this sort of dishwasher, and then you need another advanced one, and then you need something else, and you must have this holiday and that holiday, and it's all pushed at you. Keep having things, keep having things. But Jesus is saying a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. You see, because Jesus is the creator, he fully understands how you and me are wired up. He understands how we tick. He understands what's good for us. And now he's issuing this warning and he's saying, take heed, beware of covetousness, of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things. Now, what you've got to do in life, folks, you've got to get a balance, haven't you? Because you can end up with clutter. You know, I guess there's somebody in your family who's the great hoarder. You know, I've got 12 brothers and sisters. We've got two of them. And I'm halfway there if I'm not careful. I must be honest. They'd probably say about me. But the point is, there's something about us we want to keep, don't we? We all gather things together. And Jesus is saying things can affect your spiritual state. They can damage it. That's what he's telling us. But then he says, he tells them this parable and he says, now this is the reason. And he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So he's rich to kick off this book, okay. And then it says, and he thinks within himself, what shall I do since I've got no room to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. Now, when he analyses, and when we analyze, should I say, the way this man thinks, notice this. there is not one thought for God. You see, this passage is about who influences you, who you listen to. Notice what he said. So, you have got goods laid up for many years. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater. And I shall say to my soul, I've got many goods laid up for many years. You see, he never thought about God. There's no thought whatsoever about God in his life there, is there? Now, why is that? Why do people not think about God? Because what happens, folks, is in our country, there's a distortion of God. So if they dare to think about God, they get the wrong God. You know? I once heard it put like this. Let's imagine tonight that we go to the most dense ancient tribe in the world. Now, it's probably Millwall fans, but forget them for a minute. Okay. But we all head down to South America and we go to the Aucas, maybe, in the rainforest of South America. And what we do, we get behind Tom, because Tom looks the most brutal of us all. We say, Tom, you lead us. So he's there behind his tree and we're all there. And the name of the game is to kidnap the first little Auca we find. Now, the Aucas are headhunters. You do know this. They're the ones who sadly dealt with Jim Elliot in the 50s and 60s. So here we go. Go on, Tom, go and get him. So Tom rugby tackles this poor little fellow. He's only about 3 foot tall. And then we get him on our aeroplane and we bring him back to Manchester and we cart him up here and we bring him to the Preston Hospital. And we stand him in the corner of a room that says operating theatre. So this man is totally mesmerised. And then all of a sudden, bang, this trolley comes through a door and some people wearing, I don't know, mufti gear and all sorts ready to... And then somebody says, well, not in his language, but in our language, scalpel, and they lay into this body. If you could communicate to that little man and say, what do you think about that then? He'd go, whoa, I thought our country was bad, but look at you lot over here. You're really laying into them. But if you said to him, listen, mate, in 2 weeks' time, this fella is going to be in great nick. This is doing him a real kindness. Do you think his past experience would bring him to that conclusion? It wouldn't, would it? Because he's got a total distortion of what's going on called an operation because of his past. Do you know what? Why most people aren't Christians? Their view of God is wrong. He hasn't come to tell you off. He's come to let you off. Isn't that good of him? You see, and this man thought within himself about eternity. And he thought, oh, I've got loads of time. You see? The problem was he didn't have the next day. So, he's doing well professionally. He's got his plan. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater ones. But the next mistake he makes is that he presumes on time. I was asked to go down to Suffolk and I went near Ipswich and I went to a little place called, I think it was called Walsringham. And I went into the church there and there's a grave to the side of the church and it's a fascinating one because whoever's in the grave has ensured that there's a message on his tombstone for anybody who's willing to pass and stop and listen. This is what it says. Stop, my friend, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon will be. Prepare, my friend, for eternity. Now, that fella had his head screwed on, if you ask me, because he could speak to people a message in anticipation of the future, couldn't he? You see, this man, he presumed on time. He did. And folks, most people make a mess spiritually because they get involved in things in the West. And secondly, they think they've got forever. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater ones. And I will then say to my soul, soul, you've got many goods laid up for many years. Well, he didn't. The next thing that happened is when he didn't recognise God's voice, it didn't stop God's voice. Because God said, this night your soul is required of thee. Come here. Do you know something, folks? One day the Lord will say of me, Vinny, come here. He'll say it to you too. Come here. And there's nothing you can do about it. He'll say, it's time. Come here. And the man was found wanting. Because the Lord said to him, and all those things that you live for, who's they going to be now? And when you check the newspapers and see some of the greats in our world, this week I was reading about the German tennis player, Boris Becker. He's now selling his Wimbledon medals to pay his debts off. And whose will all these great things be that you've got? And folks, when you accumulate things, you do have to hand them on. Werner Wright used to say these words, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. So it's a good bit of advice, isn't it? Do your giving while you're living, then there's knowing where is it going, the Yorkshireman said. You see, folks, people don't think about eternity. They think they're going to be here forever. I'm in touch with some good friends of mine, and I won't say the lady's name. Let's call it, she's not called this, but let's call her Kate, and she's in a relationship with Fred, and Fred's in his 60s. About 6 weeks ago, they went for a meal up in Lancashire, and then he ended up in the hospital. There's nothing wrong with the food, he felt just bad. Went back 3 times, sent him away, and she said this isn't good enough, and took him into Blackburn Royal Infirmary. Cancer of the stomach. Not a thought there was anything wrong with him. Not a thought. I go to see them now where he is. Pray with him. He said, Vinny, will you pray with me? Going through treatment to shrink a cancer that they're going to try and remove, but they don't know if it's going to work. All of a sudden, this bombshell is dropped. And they had plans to move across to another country and buy a house there for the summer and then have a caravan at this end, a beautiful caravan, and all gone wrong. You see, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So the things that I possess can prevent me from hearing God's word, from doing something about it, from acknowledging my real state on the radar of life, the real position. And this man makes a mistake to his own detriment, because what he does, he lives without the thought of God. If you go up the road to Inskip, you'll see they've got a fantastic banner. I've been using it since I saw it about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. God does not believe in atheists, but I am sure they exist. Do you know something? Whether you believe there's a God or not makes not one iota whether there is a God or not. It's a bit like saying, I don't believe in the weather. Does anybody round these parts not believe in the weather? Now, you might not believe in the type of the weather, but you've got to believe in the weather, because it's there. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not believe in the atheist, but they certainly exist. And folks, what happens is that loads of people are saying, there's no God. But they're gambling their soul on the issue of eternity. I like to say to people who take that view, I say, look, can you tell me one place where Jesus Christ was wrong? Just give me one statement he ever made that's wrong. Just one. Can anybody think of one? I mean, how about love your enemies? Do you think that's good or bad? Pretty good, that ain't. I mean, the alternative is beat them all up. I mean, that wouldn't be Christ's way, would it? Why would he not then tell us the truth on the big points of eternity? Why would he kid us along? Why would he cheat us? Why would he twist the truth? And say, ah, no, you're all right. You just go into your grave and you're okay, you're fine. You just become dust. Don't worry about it. No. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish, he would say. And lots of people don't stop and think, I'm only here for a short time. And they live as though this is their permanent address. I've never seen anybody on the M6 buy a house at Sandbach Services yet. Do you know why? Because you just stop there for a short time and go to your next destination. And folks, that's how we should do life. We're not here forever. We're not here, you know, just for this life. That's a very nice sound. Is that you, Isaac? Okay. Is it not you, Isaac? Isaac's bored with the message. He's playing a tune. Very good. So, now, what is Jesus saying? He says, thou fool. He said to this man, he's saying, God says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Up in Morecambe, there's an eccentric man. Some of you may know him. He's called Keith Bowers. Does anybody know my friend Keith? Well, he carries banners. All right, whether you like banners or not banners, he carries them, okay? And on one occasion with his mates, he went to Sheffield and he carried a banner. This is what the banner said. Prepare to meet your God. He said, I spoke with three lads who all said they were Jews. And then they went down the tunnel. He was outside Hillsborough, the famous tunnel. He was stood outside carrying a banner. Prepare to meet thy God. Do you think any of them guys thought he had any relevance to life, that man, when they went to watch Liverpool play football? I don't think they ever entered their head. But you've got the power of hindsight. Do you know how relevant it was, that? You certainly do. And just a week ago, you know, when we're only going to a music concert with some guy who's like a, you know, a bit older than John Dever, strumming his guitar, and yet 58 people dead. There's some loony shooting from a hotel. You see, folks, life can be short, can't it? And eternity is forever. So would you be a person who gambles their mind against the voice of God? And the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to tell you half the truth on the big points, what happens to you. The question is, are you willing to listen and do anything about it? And then notice what happens now. Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And whose will those things be that you've provided? You see, folks, when life is done, the moment I leave planet Earth, me and Bill Gates, right? He's got billions. He owns more money than some countries, that man. And I'll own zilch. But when he goes, how much will he own? Because everything's just temporary, isn't it? So the secret and the wise thing is get your riches in heaven. So how do I do that? Number one, become a citizen of heaven. You've got to come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I'm wrong. You're right. Lord Jesus, thank you. You died for me on that cross. You took my sin. You were hanging there publicly before your mother, alone, before an angry God, and you were dying instead of me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to him and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me, cleanse me, and wash me whiter than snow? I think the most foolish person I've ever met was a 93-year-old woman in Southport. And I talked to her for about an hour. She looked me up in my face and I said, do you mind? I can't remember her name now. I said, well, you've met somebody today who's tried to help you become a real child of God. Young man, she said, you pray to your God, I will never become a Christian. 93. Talk about one foot on the banana skin, eh? It was her, wasn't it? Folks, lots of people are like that. They've got this eternal experience called life and then eternity. And they found wanting. They go out and leave planet Earth unforgiven. And Jesus says, don't be so foolish. I love you. I'll die for you. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you. But the thing that holds them most of all is a bit like gravity, called things. And things will cripple you spiritually. Now I'm going to ask you to leave your things and say, from now on, I want Jesus to be king of my life. The Hudson River often freezes up and it flows down and it goes through Canada and drops over the Niagara into America. On one occasion there was a golden eagle in the mountains and he looked down and he saw the remains of a carcass of an animal, a cow or something, on this block of ice that was slowly floating down the Hudson River. But it wasn't far from the Niagara drop. Now, if you know Niagara, when you get close to the fall, which is full of mist at one stage, there's a sign, it says, the point of no return. Well, this eagle thought it was time for his breakfast, and down he swooped. And he's on this ice block, eating the carcass. It's getting closer to the end, and he's thinking, I'll pull away. Sure enough, he tries to pull away. But its talons, claws stick in the ice, plunges over to disaster. Do you know that's how people live their lives? They're just more interested in things. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. You see, Jesus had all things. He was rich. Yet for our sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. And so tonight I'm going to ask you a question. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour? I'm not asking you to get religion. I'm asking you, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour? Somebody says, well, I'm sat on the fence. Well, I've got some good news for you. There isn't a fence. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You can't sit on any fence. Have you ever put yourself in the camp of, I'm for? You say, well, what do I have to do? Number one, you've got to admit you can't make it on your own steam. Heaven is going to bar you if you turn up unforgiven. And secondly, you come to the cross where Jesus hung publicly for you. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness fell across the world. And in those dark hours, Jesus felt the anger, the wrath of a holy God, when the Father dropped on Jesus your sin. He loves you, you know. He wants to forgive you and cleanse you and wash you and give you life eternal. And he's saying, I've come that you may have life. He's saying, repent, be converted, become as a little child, come to the cross and receive Christ as Lord and Saviour. I think my dad died he died the same month as Lady Di died. And my dad, he never went to church, really. He'd turn up occasionally. He went through life, he only had one eye, my dad. And he never lost the sight of it. But when he was dying, over the months he was dying, I wrote on a piece of card, this big, it's an A4 card, and I put a little prayer for him. I never thought my dad would pray it. Put blue tack on the back, stuck it on his wall, and I thought, I've got to get it right. They keep moving his bed in his room. I've got to, move over there. I've got to get it right so he can see it. This is what it said. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I went to see him. My dad is as Irish as the hills. Vinnin, that's how he called me. He called me Vinnin. I've prayed that 50 times since you put it up on the wall. And my little Irish dad prayed it out loud. Blew me away. I thought, I'd never hear this. You see, when he died, my brother, who was not a Christian and sceptic, he said, something's happened here tonight. I said, what do you mean? He said, this is what Lawrence said. Now, Lawrence became a Christian just before he died, about 6 years ago. He said, something happened. There was a wind came. I said, what do you mean? It's middle of July and end of July. And was it August then, I suppose, when Lady Di died? And I said, it's warm and the wind is up. He said, no. He said, I've been sat here watching everything, he said to me. And he said, a presence came. And when Dad died at 6 a.m, a presence was in this room. That was God's angels. He sent the taxi to this way, Mr. Commons, get in. Ladies and gentlemen, that can be your end too. You say, well, how do I get that? you come as a child to Jesus and you say, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I repent from my sin and I come and receive Christ as my Lord and my Saviour. Shall I tell you something interesting? If you've passed the age of 10, your chance of getting saved in England is very small. Do you know why? Because it's all geared to prevent you coming into the kingdom of heaven. Give them things. But you say, wow, I don't want that happen to me. Well, here's your golden opportunity. The door's wide open. The arms of heaven are there. There's a sign saying, welcome, come. And you've got to come as a child and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, and be my saviour. Will you do it? Will you come as a child and say, I'll do it? I was in a church in Bootle 3 weeks ago doing a mission. There's 14, 15-year-olds there, 10-year-olds. And we'd done a straight message and said, any of you want to become a child of God? And seven little hands went up, you know. Well, whether they were genuine, I don't know, because I didn't talk to them all. But here's the point, folks. What about you? What about me? You say, God, would you forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, and be my saviour? Do you do that for me? If you mean a prayer to heaven with all your heart, he will answer. I'll tell you how I became a Christian. I went to a holiday camp, as I call it now, called Padgate College. It used to be an army training camp. I think they left a few of the officers behind. They were called lecturers. And I'd been to a youth group. I walked back from the youth group on a Sunday night. I was 19 and I thought, I don't want anything to do with this God. So I thought I'd go and shoot basketball in the gym. Nobody in the gym. I went back to the Hull of Residence. I went up to my room. And all of a sudden I thought, Vinny, you're living without Jesus. And I thought, I am doomed. I will go to hell like this. And I began to shake. And I just cried out, God, forgive me. I didn't know where to put myself. I walked around the room. I thought it was in mental turmoil. I thought it was cracking up. And I thought, God, forgive me. And the peace of Jesus just came right into my heart. And I sat in the bed and I thought, I am forgiven. God has saved me that night. I was 19. Have you got a time when he's forgiven you? Well, here's your golden opportunity. October is it the 8th or the 9th? Tonight. You say, what do I have to do? You've got to just be admit and be honest and say, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I come by faith and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. We're going to sing our final hymn. Thank you, Isaac. It'll come up.